Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. On network television and in radio, they get bleeped. In print, the middle of the word sometimes gets replaced with a run of punctuation. And in polite company, they are rarely used. Curse words. Comedian George Carlin was arrested and charged with violating obscenity laws when he performed his famous seven words you can never say on television routine at a festival in Milwaukee. That was way back in the 70s. These days, it is not unusual to hear once verboten four-letter words in music or cable TV, movies, and in the line at the bank. Here to discuss how four-letter words have come out of the shadows and into the mainstream is Rob Chirico. He's author of several books, including A Field Guide to Cocktails and his latest, Damn, A Cultural History of Swearing in Modern America. Rob, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi.
Well, you use the terms cursing, swearing, obscenity, cussing throughout the book. What is there any difference?
Well, you know, right now the lines have pretty much been, you know, undistinguished. In the past, yes, swearing was something that you did in a religious sense. Today, that's not the case anymore. People just use the words indiscriminately. So, you know, like so many other things in our history and our language usage and so forth, the lines have been blurred and we use them, you know, whenever we feel we just need any word.
Any indication that we're swearing more now than in the past?
You know, we're probably not swearing that much more now. I say in certain circles, people are swearing a little bit more. But in general, you know, it was a taboo, so you didn't hear it. You didn't read about it. I mean, clearly in centuries past, since it was such a taboo, it was spoken as part of, you know, our verbal language. But it was just not written down. Today, you find it on television, movies, everywhere. There's almost like this giddy sensation when adults watch children swearing in film as if like, you know, aha, look what we can finally do. We've broken down the wall.
Well, that's cable television and cable radio. We certainly can't do it on public radio because the FCC would ban it. And that seems to be one of the highlights and distinction between cable and traditional media, that we can swear on cable.
It's true. In fact, the FCC could impose anywhere from a $32,500 fine to a $33,250 fine for just one swear word on commercial television. Meanwhile, the number of particular swear words in the show Deadwood, if that was on network television, they would have been fined over $95 million. So at least the FCC does make a little bit of money from our naughtiness on network television.
Deadwood is set in the West of the late 19th century. I'm wondering about regionalism. Does a propensity for profanity vary depending on where you are in the country?
Oh, absolutely. Just as in food, if you think about how different food may be in the South and the North and the Midwest, you know, swearing as well. You can say some things in New York City and, you know, people in Omaha may say, well, what does that mean? Particular swear words as well, you know, or get more colorful, you know, depending on where you are.
You land the uptick in swearing in the 1960s. What is it that caused the floodgates to open?
Well, I think, you know, the person really responsible was Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, the comedian.
Lenny Bruce was brilliant and he had so much to say about the world in general, because he was picked up, you know, in mainstream by Playboy magazine, by other comedians who felt that, oh, yeah, well, why don't we speak our minds freely? Because we're speaking them behind closed doors. Lenny Bruce was really one of the first people to do that. Now, couple that with Vietnam, couple that with, you know, fighting against authority, the concept of rebellion and the rebelliousness, you know, did not really engender something that was new. It just brought out of the closet something that was there. And once it was out of the closet, then you could bring it out even more so and talk about it to such a great extent that it never been really heard before in public.
Hard to believe, if we look at the evolution of what shocks us, that in 1939, you know, just 20 years before the dawn of the 1960s, when that famous closing line from Gone with the Wind was almost censored. What's the backstory there?
Well, you know, the Hays Commission and the people governing the movie industries, you know, wanted to keep everything pristine, clean. And, you know, when Rhett Butler says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn," they were going to threaten the studio with a fine. They were never fined, but they changed the rules to say within certain contexts, if words were needed, they could be used. I mean, initially they wanted to change to, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn, I don't give a hoot." But, you know, that is one of the big first films that used that. The first film to use the F word was actually MASH.
In 1970. What was the response to that?
Not much. That's the interesting thing. I mean, when I saw it for the first time in the theater, it probably got the biggest laugh of any line anywhere. It's like somebody opening up his collar, you know, and say, "Oh boy, what a relief. We can finally say that," you know. And, you know, and so when language is used in that respect, properly and timely, you know, it can get, you know, quite a good response.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the sort of crudification of American culture. You tally up something like 500 times the F-bomb is dropped in that film, The Wolf of Wall Street, Martin Scorsese film, but not really on Main Street. So it feels like we still have this kind of double standard. The collar hasn't totally been loosened.
Well, I'll give you an example that when I was first writing my book, I was with my sister and brother-in-law, and we were talking about it and freely talking about it. And then my mother came over, and suddenly here am I writing about this subject, and I'm not saying any of the words that I'm using in the book. So, you know, yes, there is the self-censorship that we use all the time. And I can go back to the restaurant business where you step into the kitchen and you hear this, but step outside of the kitchen and the wait staff, you know, is not going to, you know, say anything what they were just saying behind the closed door.
Yeah, there is this kind of idea that it doesn't really affect us anymore because we hear it so much on movies and on television, but there's this kind of governing principle for our own selves. You know, we're not supposed to swear in front of our colleagues at work. We're not supposed to swear on the street. But it's this kind of idea that we're becoming a cruder culture because people can just say these words, and they do say them. You hear people talking on their cell phones using F-bombs and other kind of swears just in public.
Oh, sure. You know, parents with their kids. You know, I mean, you know, for instance, I was teaching in Buenos Aires. I was at the American school, and I was in the library, and there were a couple of young Korean guys, and they were saying, you know, "Oh, this sucks, that sucks." And so I was shocked, because for me, I grew up, and that was a nasty word.
Same here.
You know, and I said to the librarian, I said, "You should tell those fellows to, you know, that's not proper." And she said, "Well, what did they say?" "Well, they said sucks." And she said, "Don't you watch The Simpsons?"
Right, exactly. Well, now it seems in American culture at this point, the N-word is the new forbidden word.
It certainly is, whether it's racial or you can add to that sexual, the C-word, you know, what people will refer to. Those are the two words that are really, you know, horrible right now, unless, of course, you're black or you're a woman.
Or you're English.
You know, that shows how far we've strayed in some ways from our own English ancestors. But there is a book by a woman. The title is The C Word. And what she wants to do is, like, take it out and clean it up and say, "Hey, we should be proud of this." I don't think it's caught on, and I don't know that it will. But certainly the N word is not something that you can use, you know, without getting into some real trouble.
So many of those words have been around for a really long time. And even if they have been reclaimed by people, they've sort of lost a lot of their power to shock. Are we just going to come up with new words that will cause similar kind of future shocks?
Probably. I don't know when exactly. Right now, we're just using the words with extra modification. We'll add something to it, like incredible, effingly, whatever. I think words will come along to express our dissatisfaction and our annoyance, but I don't think that they'll have the same tenor that these other words had when they were first initiated. It's going to be spontaneous generation, whatever happens with our language, as it's always happened.
That's Rob Chirico. He's an artist, an author, and a self-proclaimed raconteur. His latest book is called Damn, A Cultural History of Swearing in Modern America. Rob, thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Now, you can find more about Rob's book at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.
Word of mouth!